Good. It's nice to have a full house, especially because we've got all the kids still with us in the room. This is to make parents really know why we value 180 childcare. Because in about 5 minutes here, the mic's going to have to get turned louder and louder and louder and all of that. No, honestly, we love having kids in the church. The kids are the church, okay? Let's not, there's not a big church and a little church. There is just the church of Jesus Christ. So kids, you're supposed to be in these seats, and you're supposed to be here, and we need you here. Wes reminded us, but Jesus told us that we need to be like you as we come into the kingdom. And Jesus said that actually the kingdom of God belongs to even the littlest ones amongst us. And isn't it great how little children can have some of the biggest, biggest faith? In fact, kids, most of the time when you read about someone in the Bible, they sometimes are really, really young. It doesn't always say their age, but even Mary, we're going to look at her in a little bit, she was 13 or 14. And can you guess how incomplete the Bible would be without Mary? Without God favoring her and bringing Christ through her, man, God uses even people who we dismiss for another 10 years until they can speak in church or something like that. Man, God uses little ones, and we love our kids. As well, thank you for Camilla for introducing all these new things. Again, we want to add capacity to our childcare because we believe that there is a generation coming who needs to hear Jesus, because these are going to be the ones who will see Nanaimo change along with us. But it's a generational thing, and we need to be bringing through generations as they come. Before I get too fired up in the preach, I just want to say a couple more things. Today is kickoff Sunday, and that's really awesome to have you. We call it kickoff because, man, July and August are kind of like, especially for Vancouver Islanders, you know, we can see a blue sky. So it feels like we got to get all the vacation time in and all that stuff. And so when September comes, a little opening of the heavens reminds us that it's sort of back to work. But it is good coming back as a community together, exploring what God has for us this year. And I would say that actually none of us know some of the amazing things that God is going to do. Would you agree? You cannot already predict what is going to happen this year if you say yes to God and if you ask Him to bring about His kingdom into your life. And I want to say that we are not a church that just primarily exists of people on microphones or on instruments or leading teams or anything like that. The church is about each one of us coming together and ministering to one another. Ephesians 4 tells us that we have different types of leaders in the church to equip the saints for work of ministry. That is you guys. You are the saints. I'm a saint, hopefully, as well, depending on what day you talk to my wife. But God is equipping us through leadership, through all these wonderful different leaders that we have at Oceanside Church, for all of us to get involved in the ministry that God is bringing about in this place. There is no one on the sidelines. This is not a stadium that you go to and there's people on the pitch and there's people in the stands. No, at Oceanside Church, everybody is moving forward together. And church, I want to say that in Acts 2, you know, the first Christians that there ever were, they met in the temple courts, but they also met in the homes. And they broke bread together and they explored the apostles' teachings together and scriptures together. And so for us today, again, we are launching connect groups here this week and next week. Most connect groups will be starting off. There's a couple that are a bit more delayed as people sneak in the last little bit of vacation there. But if you want to join a connect group, we would love to have you. Honestly, it's amazing the response that we have to connect groups, and we struggle to get all the capacity that we have. But if you would like to find a community at Oceanside Church, which is hard to do on a bigger Sunday morning like this, we just want to invite you. There's going to be a table at the back where you can go and sign up. And thank you so much to Paul and Katie, who oversee all our connect groups. We have connect groups on each day of the week, meeting all around the city in lots of different demographics, and it's just so amazing. Me and Camilla would have never been having the privilege of leading Oceanside Church if it wasn't through our Connect group. In fact, a Connect group that I got invited into was the same one that Nate went to. And then we were discipled along. Paul was leading the Connect group at that time. We were discipled along by Paul, then letting us lead a Connect group, and then exploring other avenues of leadership in our lives. And it's been amazing, this piece of discipleship that happens in these groups. If you are a believer, you need to be connected into discipleship. And it can't happen by six elders standing up at the front, seeing you one for one coffee a year. We can see some people more often than that, but all of us need to be together going through the scriptures under good leadership. And I want to say that Connect groups are just such an amazing fruit. If you need to see breakthrough in your life, which you do. If you need to become closer to Jesus, which you do. If you need to see answers to prayer, which we all do, then you need to be involved in a Connect group that intimately knows what's happening in your life and can be beside you, not in just the coffee time, but in the time of crying out to God and asking Him to move. So many of the testimonies that we have at Oceanside Church of God doing good things happen within Connect groups. So will you get involved this year? And as well, Connect group leaders, I want to encourage you guys, if you've got a favorite person in your Connect group because they bring something wonderful to your group, this year or perhaps over the next 3 months, encourage them to think about leading a group for themselves. Again, if we want to see this church multiply, or the church of Nanaimo multiply, the way that's going to happen is by more people opening their homes for people who don't even know who Jesus is yet, to ask questions. And we've in fact had that in the church this year, people who don't know Christ, who are getting just more and more knowledge of who He is and the love that He's got for them in and coming along. If you're new to Oceanside Church, which there are many of you as well, I would say that one of these Connect groups that we run at the end of last year was a newcomers group. And how long did it run, Mark? 8 weeks? 8 weeks? So it's 8 weeks just teaching about who we are at Oceanside Church. We're going to have another one of those start up in October, over October and November, and it's going to be a newcomers group where you can come if you're brand new to Oceanside Church. Perhaps you can't quite find a Connect group to get involved in, and we would just love to have you and let you know who we are and actually to create a community there. And hopefully, after we've had a newcomers group, we've actually got another Connect group that hopefully we can launch. I know as well that Paul is going to be intensely looking for people who are willing to open their homes, who are willing to take a step and lead Connect groups. I will say that when I started leading Connect group, it was my least favorite day of the week. No, honestly, the Wednesday morning leading up to Wednesday evening, man, I would get so nervous about having people in my home, about me having the title of a leader, or me having to have an answer for what someone said on a Sunday previous, or something like that. But I got to say, as soon as the first person came through the door, man, it was such a joy to have those people in our home. And I've got to tell you, the value of the community that we have now today, because we've just been opening the door to our house and inviting people in, it is so beautiful. Again, you don't know who's going to walk through the door, but and that's one of the awesome things, is that God just knits us together in a community. So will you get involved in a Connect group? Yeah. It's awesome, because if you just come to Oceanside Church and then you don't come anymore, like, it's the smaller part of church that really notices and really sees. We've got some other awesome stuff happening. Again, kickoff Sunday, it's amazing. But Paul today is off in the interior of BC, setting in a new eldership couple at a church there. And we as well, over this last year, have really been seeking the Lord as an eldership team here at Oceanside. We are governed by an eldership team. We believe that's what we see biblically. And we actually want to bring some new elders on here at Oceanside Church. We hear it. Camilla's really happy about it. I got to tell you, all the existing elders are really happy about that we're bringing more elders on. But the eldership team here at Oceanside Church, we again form that governance and we form that oversight role that God has put us in over the church and shepherding His way. And we just want to bring two couples up here. Just let me intro a little bit first, who we believe are people who are already thoroughly blessing this community in different avenues of leadership. These are couples that have already blessed other eldership team members as they've stood beside us and they've gone to task with us. These are people who have tremendous vision of seeing Jesus come in full form into people's lives. These are people who are not timid about their faith, but who are brave about their faith and ambitious with what God has called them to do. These are people who, when I asked, quickly went to God and came back with a yes. These are people who tremble and fear the Lord more than the congregation, thank goodness, because we need to fear him more than you as we lead you. But these are people who we love and trust are already so integrated in our community. And in 2 weeks here, this is like the engagement period, I guess, when you can really say, hey, that person shouldn't be on eldership. No. Honestly, no, we've talked to people. These people come with an amazing regard. You may know them or you may not. Some of them have been around a long time. Some of them have been around a shorter time. But these are people unanimously within our eldership team have agreed that they will bless and lead the church. And in 2 weeks here, I think that's the 24th that makes it, Ivor Lewis, who is on the NCMI Apostolic Team, and he lives down in Victoria, he's going to join with us that morning because we believe it's the sent one, it's the apostles who come and just preach and as well lay hands on as we look to set up elders in each and every, set up amazing elders from town to town. So these two couples are Mark and Dina. Would you just like to come to the front here? And these are an amazing couple. And Lee and Janine, if you also want to come up here as well. Don't worry, this isn't the first time that they're hearing about this. Oh, yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah, sometimes if you come to church, you never know what's going to happen. But these are amazing couples within the life of Oceanside Church. I know so many of you have been blessed already by either Lee and Janine's connect groups or the different things that they've done throughout the church at different times, or Mark and Dina have been here many, many years, longer than me and Camilla by a stretch, and are just, again, thoroughly blessed. So we'd just love to have them introduce themselves. If I could grab the mic, and we'll start with Mark and Dina. Mark and Dina, just tell us about yourselves.
I don't like being up here, and I don't like talking, so I'll be really quick. I'm Dina. I love you guys, and we've been so pleased to be part of Oceanside for such a long time and are just eager to help in any way we can. So.
It's just a joy for us to step into this role. We just love the Lord. Just look at me crying.
Yeah.
There's such a destiny on this church. And so it's a great joy to take that role.
That's awesome. Yeah. I will say, Mark and Dina have been on eldership teams before, even here at Oceanside Church, and through different seasons. We know that eldership is not actually a lifelong commitment that we commit to. It's an office that we get to occupy while God has that for us. And these guys, to be obedient, to again step back into the fray, they were just about to head on into retirement, and we were like, no, there's no retirement in the kingdom. There's only lots and lots of work, but no. Seriously, when me and Camilla were coming through on the eldership team 7 or 8 years ago, this man took me under his wing and showed me different things, doing hospital visits with him, counseling couples with him, and both of you. And you guys have tremendous wisdom. You have tremendous pastoral hearts. And you come equipped, again, with teaching. There's probably not a member of our eldership team that when we're getting up to preach that don't reference Mark and all of his amazing knowledge that he has and blessed us. Mark and Dina have led Oceanside School of the Bible over the last few years. You can go online and see all those amazing teachings that they have on spiritual warfare and, you know, Ephesians and all these other books that have happened time and time again. But these guys are a huge resource to Oceanside Church, and we thank you for saying yes, even though there's still 2 weeks to say no. So it's like when you get engaged, you can always say no. But we have prayed. And we have asked God, and he is leading us in this direction. We're so thankful. And then another amazing couple and family that we have to welcome here is Lee and Janine, along with Skylar and Israel. So Lee, why don't you just introduce your family and how you ended up at Oceanside?
Yeah, so we were born and raised in Johannesburg, South Africa, and came over to Canada 2.5, almost 3 years ago. And the main reason we came here was just we felt led to come to Western Canada, and we thought that it was going to be Vancouver. When we came to visit, we spent like 2 weeks in Vancouver, and then we popped over to the island for 2 nights. And when Janine and I left on a plane, we didn't even talk about where we're heading. We said like Nanaimo is the place. We didn't shop around for churches. We just connected with guys in Nanaimo. And we've got such a deep, deep heart for Nanaimo to see God's kingdom just extended in the city and on the island. And we count it an absolute privilege to be part of that.
I won't say much, but yeah, just resonating with what Lee says. I'm Janine, Lee's wife. And just a quick story. I had a picture in prayer years ago before we even immigrated or even thought of immigrating. And it was just like a picture of a place God was taking us to. And the place we were living in looked very different. No ocean, no mountains, none of that. And I was like, okay, God, like you obviously want to put us in this specific place. And so I was like, the only place in South Africa that looks like that is the Garden Route with its mountains and oceans and like the Cape area. So we started looking for property there because I was like, the Lord is taking us to this place. And so that didn't work out. Every door closed. Lee was like, I don't have peace about this. And then we flew into Vancouver and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the picture that I had. So, yeah, we know God is calling us here. He is a sure, sure God. He is faithful. He knows what he's doing, and even when we don't. So, just excited to serve.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, over the next 2 weeks, a challenge for you guys is just to be praying over these couples, even asking for a scripture of encouragement as they step in. We know that us as a congregation, you know, you never have probably relationship with the whole eldership team. There certainly was for me and Camilla, you know, but when we were coming through, it was Mark and Paul who we kind of mainly connected with. You know, lots of you guys already have connections with these amazing couples, but please pray for them. Please pray for protection over them. We need bold leaders who are ready to step into what this church has for them. There are no junior elders on our eldership team, only elders on our eldership team. There are no senior elders on our eldership team, only elders on our eldership team. And I got to say, it's been a privilege. Me and Camilla stepped on with Nathan and Megan and another couple some years ago, and it's been a privilege to lead this church. But it's also an act of service and sacrifice as well as we lead the church. Obviously, God gives us immense things, but God calls good leadership is sacrificial. So we do just thank these guys as they step up and get that mantle in 2 weeks. You haven't got it yet. So if they start eldering you before that, no, just kidding, it's fine. But let's just give these guys a round of applause and thank God for bringing people through. Thanks, guys. So we're looking at the time here, and we're quickly realizing that Andy has to do the quickest preach that he's ever done. Who's got faith for that? Oof. More faith than some do. Good things. No, but pretty loose here this morning. As we step into this next season, again, we've got so many people who've joined us over this last season, over this sort of coming out back to church's normal season. We were just sitting with the elders 2 weeks ago and said, you know what? What we're going to do for the rest of September, for October and November, is we're really going to just be sharing from the front here what we are passionate about at the church, because we know that maybe some of you are looking for a new church, maybe you've been to 3 or 4, you know, checking it out. You can sort of get an idea of what a church is about, you know, from the worship, from the word, little things like that. But we would love to teach what we're really pressing into for this next season. And I think the sort of overarching covering of this series, I haven't quite nailed down a title yet in true Andy fashion. We're going to do the first preach and then see how it lands. But really, the word that God keeps telling me in this last week is that there is immense untapped potential of what God wants to do. So what does it mean? Yeah, praise God, because it's not us, it's God. But there is untapped potential in a church that gets on its knees and prays. There is untapped, and when I say untapped, I mean obviously we're already getting there, so maybe Mark will help with a better title, but there is a potential in a church that is worshiping the living God. There is potential in a church that's bringing through the next generation. There is potential for a church who lifts up the word of God and honors that as truth. There is potential for a church who believes in the ministering of the gifts of the Spirit, who believes in the power of the Spirit, who believes the gospel is for today. There is potential for a church that believes the city will be changed by evangelism. And church, we just want to share our hearts and share a bit of knowledge about who we are as Oceanside Church, as many of you have joined us in the last couple years or are looking in as a church. You can go to these connect groups, you can get a feel, but we would just love to preach on that. And there is potential energy all around us. You'd learn about it in a science class, right? Your science teacher would take, you know, a heavy object and place it up on a shelf. And they say, even though nothing is happening with that object, even though nothing is happening on that weight has potential energy because something can come along and then it has gravitational force to pull it down to the ground with a massive thwack. And if you get your toe under there, you're going to really learn a really good lesson about the potential energy that is available in an object. Again, some of you are checking the fixtures around the room that we've put up here. There's potential energy in those fixtures, but don't worry, we've put them up properly. Don't be scared. But also in God's church, especially, well, it's not especially, but in the Western world, in Canada, in North America, there is potential within the church of God that has yet been unleashed. And for us as a community, we want to turn to Jesus and ask him to unleash everything that he's got for us as a community. As I was pressing into this topic, scripture just opened up to Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul wasn't done writing the book of Ephesians. He was about halfway done by that point, but he couldn't stop and get any further before he worshiped the Lord God for what he was able to do. Church, this God of Ephesians 3 is still here today. The God who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. And that's when I come to you here this morning and say the next year, for those who are obedient to God and ask him to move in their lives, you don't even know the true expectation of what he wants to bring to those around you through people living after his word, after his presence, after his spirit, after him, Jesus Christ. And that there is power at work within us, according to his power at work within us. And verse 21 tells us that the power at work within us, that the abundance of his joy in giving, that he can do, that he can bring about whatever he wants. Verse 21 reminds us that it's all for his glory, not for man's glory. Yeah. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. This church is about bringing glory to Christ Jesus. Yeah. This church is about bringing glory to the Holy Spirit that as well brings glory to Christ Jesus and the Father. And this church is about bringing glory to God the Father who has orchestrated us, an amazing Savior, his Son, who died for us, who rose for us, who is saving people in this city as we speak. There is no one too little or too minor in the kingdom of God. And since we had the kids here today, again, and in just the joy of just keeping things short here today, where my mind went as I thought about the untapped potential of what God wanted to do, just went sort of into the Christmas story of Mary being obedient before the living God. And again, for any young teenagers here or any kids here, this is why I said earlier that don't minimize the potential that you have to be obedient to the King of Kings. Mary, which I'm talking about Jesus' mother in Luke chapter 1, She was probably about 13 or 14 years old. Again, in that day and age, eligible to be wed, eligible to be married, you know, you had to get on with things because you didn't live quite as long as we do. We've got a bit more time on our hands. But back in that day, though, even the young ones, as young as that, even Jesus' disciples were as young as that, as Jesus called them to do amazing things. Even the disciples that went out and cast out evil spirits and saw healings and wrote the New Testament for us under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, these started off as very young ones under the discipleship of Jesus. And as we see that fact within the scriptures and how God talks about the next generation, the topic for today is that we are a church that believes in the potential of the next generation. Yeah. Every generation that comes, the parents kind of get there and or the grandparents or whoever things is like, okay, now the church is done. Okay, the millennials are here. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? I'm sure they even, you know, the greatest generation who fought the world wars probably said that same thing about the boomers. Oh no, the boomers are here. Are they really going to know to count the cost like we've counted the cost to see the church come through? But what I love is God is a God of generations, and he will always make his name known. But if it's in a small way or a big way, that's sometimes up to us being obedient with the call that he's bringing us into. But Luke chapter 1 begins by talking about Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist, and she was too far gone. The scriptures politely talk about her being advanced in years. If you call your wife advanced in years, you may get a slap. But the Bible chose that as the most polite way to call Elizabeth old. And here we see the amazingness of how God uses different generations, that he picked a very young one who was too early to have any decent responsibilities in the kingdom of God that we might come up with ourselves. And he picked someone who was talking about themselves, just like Abraham and Sarah, saying, I'm way too old to see the promises of God come about in my life. And with each one, God takes both generations and he says, actually, I'm going to pick both of you. I'm going to put you together to bring about the coming of my kingdom. Thank goodness for Elizabeth. Thank goodness for Mary. Thank goodness because they brought about the heralds of the kingdom and the Son of God himself. The Bible talks about Mary even at that young age. In Luke chapter 1, verse 21, he says, oh, that an angel comes to Mary and says, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Verse 30 says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. What had Mary done to found favor? We don't really know. We just know that God selected her to say, I'm going to bring about my kingdom through you. And in verse 35, after she asks, how is this going to happen? How are you going to make me into this person, into your kingdom? Verse 35 says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Church, we believe over the potential of our generations, the same thing that God, through his angel, prophesied and brought about into being in Mary's life. That when we come to God and when the power of the Most High overshadows us and when we come with that humility that Mary had, that we can experience amazing favor of God because he has favored us. Verse 37, the angel finishes up saying, for nothing will be impossible with God. And in verse 38, Mary responds, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Oh, if we could have the same resolution that Mary had in that moment, to recognize, obviously, the command of God that was over her, the recognition that she had been favored and that she was bringing about a Jesus Christ into the world. You see, Mary was used to point to the Messiah. Mary was used to bring about the kingdom. Mary also got to enjoy Jesus as well, as each one of us has also. And we want to say for the coming generation at Oceanside Church and in the city of Nanaimo and in the nation of Canada, that it is about saying yes to God, to do the impossible, to bring about Jesus. He's still coming. He's still here. His name still needs to be heard throughout all the world. And one little girl's yes led to Jesus coming. In Jeremiah 32, a book from the Old Testament, the Lord says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" One of the reasons why we love the next generation at Oceanside Church is because the next generation at Oceanside Church, when they hear, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" they say, "No, nothing is too hard for him." How interesting it is that when that same angel came to some other people bringing about the Christmas season and all of that stuff, some of the older people had a little bit of an argument with the angel or didn't quite believe. But it was the young ones who believed fully, who said, "Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Is anything too hard for me?" the Lord says. "No, nothing is impossible for him." We want to see at Oceanside Church a generation of young kids stepping up and saying yes to Jesus. We have only gone so far. We have only reached so deep. But we believe that God calls even the most unlikely ones to bring about the biggest changes in his kingdom. Would you agree? It's the reason why God called Mary. It's because she didn't come from any fame or stature or wealthy family. In fact, that calling upon her life put her into possibly a position of shame in her culture as she was still a virgin and not married. But God calls the unlikely ones because he wants to display his character fully. God calls the lowest of the low because he wants to display his glory yet more. And God works through obedient people who say yes. Later in chapter 1, Mary sings while she is pregnant, towards the end of her pregnancy. And she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant, and behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he is mighty and has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Mary rejoices because of the favor and the mission that she had picked up in the kingdom of the Lord. And I got to say, like that, just reading her song of praise to God, just things spoke to me about what God, I felt, was going to do at the next generation at Oceanside. And I believe that Mary's song, we can offer that up as sort of this prophetic insight to what it means when children, even the youngest ones, saying, "I'm going to be a servant of the Lord. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to realize that nothing is impossible with him." Just like Mary, we believe it's going to bring about a generation that magnifies and rejoices in God, their Savior. Who would agree that we need to see a generation magnifying the Lord? We need to see souls magnifying, spirits rejoicing on even those of the most humble estate. There are people in our community who have been cast out, cast low, come from broken families, don't have money to their name, don't have influence or anything. God wants to raise those people up, and he wants to use us with the spiritual sight that he has to see a child, not in 5 years, not in 10 years, but in 15 years down the line. That is one of the amazing reasons why we love raising money for Congo Grace Orphanage, which we heard about last week and which we're raising money today for, is because we believe that even though the world may have spoken about a nation and says nothing good is going to come from that place, even Jesus himself came from a place with no reputation. To a woman who had no reputation, to a man who had no reputation either. But that's how God works. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant, and now they are going to be called blessed of all generations. We believe in a generation at Oceanside Church who will call his name holy, who will fear him as God alone. Church, we need to disciple our little ones in 180 in these vital ages and as the amazing work that the youth guys do as well, because children know how to come to God. We need to be like them, and they need to know his name is holy and fear him from generation to generation. And we want to see a generation that grows up just like Mary, that has seen his strength move, that knows that God is able, that knows that even without power within themselves to do the work that God has for them, that they know that they can look to the Lord and see the strength that God has shown time and time before. God scatters the proud, but he gathers the humble. He gathers the children in. It says in verse 52 that he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. There may be thrones in our lives that we wish God would overthrow and wish God that would do. Again, we are asking God to raise up a generation that would see his hand move mightily in our nations, to see his throne lifted high above every other throne, not the thrones that our culture feels most important. We believe in a generation that will see the hungry filled with good things. And we believe that we will see a generation that is helped by God and that hears God for themselves. Church, we must position our hearts before the next generation, knowing that within them, God has unrivaled potential within those kids. Yes, for all of us here today as well. But God wants to say about the next generation at Oceanside that I have a plan for them. I have a hope for them. I have something for them. And we are so thankful for, you know, it takes 80 or so volunteers. Once a month, one of those 80 people is taking care of our kids. But we know that every time we increase the capacity of our 180 kids, that it grows time and time again. Church, there is a hunger. We are even speaking to parents that don't have any faith, that are now asking, hey, how can my child get more of a faith? Because they're not getting that from secular schooling or anything like that before. Even the unchurched are coming interested about seeing their kids raised up with a faith in Jesus Christ. And God has a lot of amazing things that he wants to do. And we're reminded in 1 Corinthians that God chooses the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. The reason that we're so interested in the next generation is because God has amazing work to do within them. There is no little Holy Spirit. There is no child angel. When the angel came to Mary, that was a full-on angel. And Mary obediently followed. So who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think? It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father who wants to bring about a generation who is hungry after his name. And that's what we want to see at Oceanside Church. Just before we close here and enjoy some amazing community and pray over the kids and pray over this generation, I just felt this morning as I woke up, Psalm 24. It says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hearts, clean hands, and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from God for his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God. Church, we want to be a church that raises up a generation that seeks the face of God. When we take care of kids on a Sunday morning, it isn't childcare. Do you understand? It's church. Amen. Justin knows that. Leads the youth. There are some powerful voices raising up within our youth, our young ones, who are getting the chance to share, who are getting the chance to preach, who are getting the chance to see what God has for them. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? The good news for us here today, and if you don't know Jesus, before it was he who has clean hands and a pure heart. The beautiful thing today is that we have been made right with Jesus, right with God through Jesus' sacrifice for us. And when we believe in what he has done for us, it is now us who have clean hands and a pure heart. But then at the end in verse 6 there, it says that such is a generation who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Churches, you're praying for the new elders, as you're praying for your connect group, as you're praying for all these things. Won't you also pray for us that we would see a generation raised up who seeks God's face for themselves? You know, as a parent, you can only take your child so far, that they need to seek the Lord for themselves. And we are praying that over our young ones and those of you who put amazing works together for these guys on a Sunday. And verse 7 says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. What is that? That the King of glory may come in. Those who seek him, those who seek his face, those who lift up their eyes to the Lord. Believe this verse is saying that the King of glory is going to come to those who are seeking him, who are lifting up their eyes. And we need to be a church that throws everything we've got to our next generation, because God has amazing works for them to do. We discredit sometimes even our own kids and view them in a certain way. But if you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your kids' hearts and you pray with them, it can even happen at a young age, and I promise you, God can bring about amazing things in your family and the next generation, amazing things of witness as well. And we believe that we will see a city changed, not just by the adults getting involved, but by the kids raising up as well. Yeah. We're going to pray, and then we're going to eat. Does that sound good? Yeah. Sounds good. But Lord God, Lord, we thank you that we can ascend your hill because of what Jesus has done for us. And we thank you, Lord God, there is no little salvation either. Even our youngest kids can turn to you, can repent, can recognize you as Lord of the universe and be saved and walk with you. And then in turn, be baptized in the Holy Spirit and see the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their lives into fruition, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that for each believer who is here today, you put someone in our path who introduced us to the living God. And I thank you, Lord, for each one of those persons' obedience that has brought us here today. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have more, that you have more, that you have increase, that when we see our children lift up their eyes to the King of the universe, that you will come. We believe that you will come to children seeking you in humility, daring to believe that you can do the impossible through them that is commanded in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would make us bold. Lord, we as well turn our attention to the Congo Grace Orphanage, and we pray upon those girls and boys in university, graduating, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the story, the tapestry of story that you're writing upon their hearts, upon their lives, Lord God. We pray for genuine faith, genuine boldness. And would you just raise up a generation, not just in our city, but in their city in the Congo as well, to see a nation changed on two sides of the earth because of children turning to you and believing that you're their father. Lord, we thank you that you can do all things. You are the God of the impossible. Thank you, Lord God. Amen.